Welcome to the Generic Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Asterios Kokodos. With me is my friend Larnach.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Last time we talked to you was Evolution.
Yes.
Which feels like a year ago. What was it a week ago? I'm actually asking.
The problem is our morality has been turned upside down by the
because of
Crown Jewel.
Yes, but yes, I forgot about Crown Jewel.
We took a moral boycott and avoided avoided discussing Crown Jewel. We had a stronger conviction than WWE. In the way that, like, people refer to politics pre and post November 2016, now the Generic Wrestling Podcast has its own November 2016 moment, and that's Crown Jewel.
We're on the right side of history, baby. Well, that and I think we also, I wasn't free.
Yeah, I think it was just because it was like two WWE pay-per-views in a row in the span of a week. It was just...
You know what?
Too much.
I was working late that night. So I happened to be up, what was it, like Saturday morning at 8 or Friday morning at 8? I happened to be up at the exact time when you should be able to watch it live. And I couldn't pull myself to just open it in a teeny tiny browser window. I was just like, why don't I care? I mean, putting aside the geopolitical nightmare it will cause for Kane's reelection, like that World Cup thing seemed like an idea that you could sell a really dumb producer that had a lot of money and didn't know wrestling. Be like, you'll get your own cup, the World Cup, and we'll crown you best in the world. And then, oh my God, they get there and it is only used to kick off a 2-week Survivor Series build.
To be fair, it did also really stick it to Qatar for hosting the Soccer World Cup in a couple of years. That's a great way for Saudi Arabia to stick it to Qatar. You may have that sissy boy soccer World Cup, but we have the sports entertainment World Cup.
Okay, that's brilliant. I had no idea there was like a whose cup is bigger situation happening.
Yeah, there were all sorts of stupid geopolitical pettiness involved in this show. And the reason it was so forgettable, WWE has this habit of doubling and tripling up pay-per-views in the month of November, going all the way back to 1990 when they did Survivor Series, and then they did another pay-per-view 2 days later, Tuesday in Texas.
Oh, this Tuesday in Texas!
Yeah.
How many of those did they do? Like two?
That was the only one. It failed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. See, interestingly, I'm going through the network and I see a thing called, in the pay-per-views called This Tuesday in Texas. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I see it, there's only one. I'm like, this is even weirder. And then I watch it, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, Undertaker beat Hogan at Survivor Series for the world title and then he lost it right back to Hogan 2 days later.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's terrible. Well, now I like it less.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think that's also the show where Jake the Snake smacked Miss Elizabeth in the face.
Yes. For that, I did see that.
That brutal man-on-woman violence that you can only get on pay-per-view.
You know what? So far, I think I might have to retract my support for This Tuesday in Texas. Now that I'm realizing that it has problematic elements, like Hogan fucking over someone again... Sorry, brother, you're going out. Wait, what do they always... Okay, just real quick.
Yes.
What are all the internet things that internet nerds say when they're making fun of Hulk Hogan?
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Right. Okay, that doesn't work for me, brother.
He's just not ready, brother. He's just not tan enough, brother. These are all real excuses for Hogan... Why Hogan should win.
Hogan must pose.
Hogan must say that. Pose. God damn it.
Okay. And then finally, let's come... There's got to be a... what's another good one? It's...
A day without pot is like a day without sunshine, brother.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Is the eventual result of my marijuana use becoming Hulk Hogan brained?
It's potential.
Oh, my God. That's not... Oh, that's not... Well, look, anyway... Long story short, Evolution was great. I didn't watch Crown Jewel, but I did see one photo on the WWE Instagram of Shane McMahon holding up that World Cup. Apparently, he beat Dolph Ziggler. Like, Shane McMahon, having done no warm-up or anything, just kind of, like, takes off his jacket and then casually beats Dolph Ziggler.
He sure did.
That's what I heard.
He sure did. To be fair, Dolph Ziggler was wrestling his third match of the night.
Yeah, but still, it's like, even when Ziggler wins, he loses. Like, because didn't he beat Seth clean?
He sure did. But you just, you know, when you've had three grueling matches and then you step in the ring with a southpaw like Shane McMahon.
That's true. You know, no, that's true.
He's the knockout artist with his pure MMA strikes.
I see, interestingly, you can't even see the positions of his feet when he's punching you. His footwork is amazing. It's almost like he's playing Dance Dance Revolution. And then next thing you know, coast to coast. Wait, did he do coast to coast?
I didn't actually watch Crown Jewel out of moral indignity. I took such a moral stance, I didn't even read about the results on 411wrestling.com the next day.
Oh, my God. Well, Becky was doing great because she looked really good out of Evolution.
Yep.
And then she immediately went from Evolution into a two-week Survivor Series build, which I kind of realized. I think that's literally the only way the WWE knows. I think it's the way they tell stories best. Because when they do a one-month build, all right, so they know how to write the week setting shit up. And then they know how to write the week that's like, what will happen on Sunday? But then in the the middle 2 weeks, it's just kind of very samey.
They're pretty good at the go-home show. And then it's always like the fallout the night after the pay-per-view is always like, what, you know, it's fallout from Battleground.
Yeah.
And we got to see what happened, how everything has changed after No Mercy. We have to know how the landscape has changed post-Backlash. If it's literally just the fallout show, and then the next week is the go-home show.
Yes, that's what we had this time for Survivor Series, and Becky gets injured, so they have to change that up. I kind of don't mind it. Maybe it's because I like the gimmick so much, because I'm like, well, you know what? I like Survivor Series because I like SmackDown versus Raw. Like, even though it's arbitrary and they could fight all the time and they all probably ride the same buses and planes, yeah, it's fun. I'm not going to think too hard about it.
Oh, I know. Bragging rights for who has the superior brand is one of the most coveted aspects of being a sports entertainer.
It's all about bragging rights. And don't forget, Raw's won the past 2 years in a row. Now SmackDown needs a win. Why do they need? For what? Why? What's going to happen?
I don't know if SmackDown needs a win, but I do know that Stephanie McMahon needs a script editor because I'm pretty sure SmackDown won 2 years ago, I think.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah, I'm going to double check that.
All right, so Team Raw wins the 5-on-5 series women's elimination match. Team Raw wins the 10-on-10 tag match. But then Team SmackDown won the men's 5-on-5. Yeah, so really it was kind of a draw.
Yeah. And what's really funny is the mixed match challenge, which nobody's watching on Facebook Live, they've actually introduced a bigger prize for that inter-brand competition than the Survivor Series. The winning team gets the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And you can only find out by turning notifications on for Facebook Live at 10:45 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Okay. Real quick question. Because the last episode of SmackDown had Brian face AJ. Brian obviously the one through cheating. He kicked AJ in the crotch after knocking AJ into a ref. What the hosts were saying is immediately after SmackDown, AJ Styles had to go fight in Mixed Match Challenge. So who won?
Well, Styles didn't show up to Mixed Match Challenge.
Are you serious?
And he was replaced with Jeff Hardy.
And then they lost.
No, they won. And then
wait, they beat Asuka and The Miz?
Yeah, not only did they beat Asuka and The Miz, but Charlotte made Asuka tap out again. That's right. Asuka's second submission loss in WWE history happened at 10:59 p.m. on Facebook Live. Because when you want to maximize the rub from a big moment like that, you got to do it on Facebook Live. America's number one favorite social media platform.
Do they say that? Please tell me they say that.
It's only the longest running weekly episodic streaming Mark Zuckerberg owned sports and entertainment activity.
Okay, I think I found a way to fix Asuka, but it's also too late and they would never do it. Asuka has to face Rousey at Survivor Series and Asuka beats Rousey clean.
Yeah, you're right. They will never do that.
But do you think that would fix Asuka?
And
by the way, obviously, I mean, fix their booking of her. She's, you know, on SmackDown, Becky did a thing in the ring where she was like, I'm going to pick my replacement live. And all the girls had a moment where they were like, pick me, pick me. And then Asuka just started screaming like, I am ready. And the crowd went crazy. And she was like, I'm ready. And then Becky went over to a frozen in fear Charlotte Flair who couldn't emote. Why can't she emote? I'm not going to try to come with a gag. A, because I can't. B, I don't like any of the ones I came up with. But C, come on here. You got to give us something.
I think the emotion that she needed to sell that moment, she couldn't find a comparable example from the collection of highlight reels that ESPN put together on her dad.
Oh my God.
She was like, there's no tape I can study of my dad, according to Jonathan Coachman.
Oh my goodness. Yup. There's certainly not a tape of Ric Flair in the ring graciously accepting a title opportunity from Sting.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe they shouldn't be doing that. Like, what was the point of them trying to kill each other for 6 months if they're just going to hug in the ring? And she's just going to hand her the opportunity. And I get it. It has to be a babyface moment for both of them. Like, it has to be. Although, wouldn't it have been great if Charlotte had immediately started beating up Becky? But Becky never would have been cleared for that. And also, that's dangerous. Maybe she shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I mean, she only had a concussion. It's only 24 hours removed from concussion. I think it's okay to let her start throwing some fists. Her vision is obscured by her swollen, broken nose, and she's 24 hours removed from a concussion, but I think it's okay to start throwing some fists on live television.
You hear they weren't calling it a broken nose, they were calling it a broken face. I love the phrase broken face, because immediately I'm like, where did it break on the face? How much of the face broke? Your face broke? That's great. Broken nose, it's like, well, everybody breaks their nose.
I know. Her face broke, unlike the Lexaplan bulletproof glass pods of the Elimination Chamber.
I know, which break all the time. Okay, let's get to the card, because goddammit, am I excited? Wait, am I excited to talk about the Survivor Series?
I'm excited. I'm actually excited for this show more than Hell in a Cell, Evolution, Super Showdown in Australia, or Crown Jewel.
I guess that's true. With Evolution, I wanted to see Becky and Charlotte. And with Survivor Series, kind of all I want to see is Brock, Daniel Bryan. I don't care. For some reason, I'm having trouble caring about anything else.
Yeah, there's no, there's really no real stakes in the Survivor Series matches, in the 5-on-5 matches, but they're great for a clusterfuck.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of really good high-flying stuff. Everybody does their finishers. It's pretty fast. Okay, well, do you want to start leading us through the card?
Yeah, let's just go right into the, as we were talking, the first inter-brand competition. Ronda Rousey, the Raw Women's Champion, versus Charlotte Flair from SmackDown.
I think there's got to be some kind of no contest here where, I don't know, people team up on them both and they both fight back to back. and then they beat up like every other women's wrestler. I don't know how yet, but put me down for there's not going to be a decisive winner.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm thinking Rousey wins clean.
Oh my God, you're right. I mean, you're right. I forgot the rule of this show. Don't bet on what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Bet on what will happen. Yup. No, you're right. I completely agree.
What you're talking about with they can't be a clean winner, I understand that logic, and that's why I believe there will be a no contest, but not for this match. I believe that no contest is going to happen in another Interbrand match.
All right.
Becky's injury, her broken face, really kind of threw all of my predictions out the window, because the one thing I was sure on over all of these shows was that Rousey's never losing, because the main event of WrestleMania 35 is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. And now, because of Becky's broken face, they're doing it like 5 months early, because they had no other options.
No, that's completely true. Which, I mean, A, actually saves Rousey Becky for WrestleMania.
We'll see.
Wait, what? Or, I mean, the other match, unfortunately, the only other match is Rousey-Stephanie McMahon.
Ooh. Now you're talking money.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's WrestleMania. They could be like, this will be a story match.
We'll throw smoke and mirrors. We'll have the NWO and DX interfere.
Yes, exactly. And then the four horsewomen will have to come rescue her. And it's the kind of thing where they'll be like, well, Stephanie could lose.
But then she'll have to get her win back next year against who's a legendary female wrestler from WCW who's willing to give the rub to someone, and it needs to go to a McMahon.
Alundra Blaze, of course. She could put her in the garbage.
There you go.
Okay, what's the next match, Eric? Let's go.
Okay.
I gotta get to a bachelor party.
Okay, so we're gonna go with the worst match on the card. It's for the cruiserweight title. Buddy Murphy is defending against Mustafa Ali.
I'm gonna say Mustafa Ali wins, because Buddy just won in Australia, and the logical thing to do would be to try to have him continue to use that momentum. So obviously they'll short-circuit, and they'll be like, well, now he's a babyface chasing the evil Mustafa Ali. I'm guessing the character's evil?
No, this is the woke, progressive, Muslim babyface.
Oh, hold on. Take two, Asterios. I think Mustafa Ali is definitely going to win. Buddy Murphy just won in Australia. He doesn't need to win 2 months in a row. Mustafa Ali winning at Survivor Series is kind of a great way to pull some heat off of the fact that they just had Hulk Hogan show up in Saudi Arabia.
That's a very good point. I was also going to say it had to go to Mustafa Ali, and the extent of my thought was because they don't care about the cruiserweights. And they were just like, they flipped a coin, but there is a lot of political progressive points in the way that they are changing hearts and minds in Saudi Arabia. They're also doing it stateside with a strong, heroic character like Mustafa Ali, who's going to like totally change all of the stereotypical redneck wrestling fans' opinions of Muslims. And there's no better platform to really, like, take this kind of creative, progressive risk than on the 7th most watched show on the WWE Network.
You got to admit, it's kind of like so they can put a bullet point in a press release. You know, oh, and closing on some heartwarming news. You know how we spent like the past like 60 years demonizing minorities? Well, we have one good guy, and you don't have to watch it because it's a cruiserweight, so you can just feel good knowing it happened.
Yeah, you're almost speaking too cynically about the movement that WWE is leading.
Oh my God! All right, what's the third match? I gotta get to a bachelor party.
Okay, well, speaking of bachelor swag, it's the king of swag, Shinsuke Nakamura, the United States champion of SmackDown, versus the Intercontinental Champion of Raw, Seth Rollins.
Nakamura needs it more, so Seth will definitely win.
Interesting. I'm going to give it to Nakamura.
Because, oh, my God!
Because of Dean Ambrose.
Oh! Ah. God damn it, I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose this month so bad. Yup, you're right. And why not? The AOP, too.
Yeah.
Now Dean Ambrose runs the AOP. Whatever.
Yeah, it's really great because it's there's so many different ways that every match can be ruined by interference. It throws so many wild cards into the Survivor Series. And so every match is a clusterfuck, and nobody wins clean.
And because there's no belt that needs to change hands, or because there's really no consequences to these matches, you can use them entirely to further storylines. Like, Survivor Series is like the ultimate second act.
It's the Chekhov's pay-per-view.
Yup. That's a yes. Yes. Exactly what it is. All right. Well, you're right about that, too. What's the next match?
Okay. It's our first traditional five-on-five elimination match. This is the tag teams elimination match. The 10 men on Team Raw. The teams of Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. The team of The Revival. The team of the B Team. The team of Lucha House Party and the team of The Ascension versus the SmackDown Collective of the Colognes, Primo and Epico. That's right, they're back.
I heard.
The team of Sanity, the team of the Usos, and the team of the New Day.
I think SmackDown is going to win because Vince doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so Vince will just like give this one to like anyone underneath him who would be like, well, the SmackDown team would clearly win. They had, like, their superstars are just much better. Like, how are you going to beat the Usos and the New Day? And also the Colognes, who, they're the Colognes, come on. They're back, they're fresh.
Their father just sold his family's tape library to the WWE Network last week.
Yup.
They're going to have a long and illustrious career in the WWE now that Vince has gotten everything he wanted from them.
Oh, God damn it. Well, look, I'm saying SmackDown. How about you?
I'm also going to go with Team SmackDown. And the bonus question I throw to you is, who are going to be the survivors?
Oh, that's right. I'm going to say Kofi Kingston, Jey Uso, and yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'm going to go with Big E.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy Uso.
Okay. So, look, we're kind of covered on the Usos.
Yeah.
All right.
I think what we're about to see is the Usos and the New Day engaging in some strange bedfellows.
I know. Perpetual rivals. But they know each other's moves better than anyone. All right. What about the women's traditional Survivor team match o'clock?
The traditional, historic, five-on-five interbrand competition for bragging rights.
Uh-huh.
Featuring the historic first ever progressive women's traditional five-on-five elimination match. Representing team brand Raw from the WWE stock portfolio. It's Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalia, and Ruby Riot.
That's good.
With their manager, the team captain, Alexa Bliss.
Oh, that's great.
Versus Team SmackDown, which is Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and a mystery partner who is replacing Charlotte.
Right, because Charlotte's facing Rousey. Okay. Something they could do to just shut people up in the office is just give it to Asuka again and have her be the sole survivor. And they'd be like, see, we haven't forgotten about Asuka. You see, we care. And it's like, well, no, you don't. You just kind of, it's a lateral move. Like, she didn't get anything out of this. She can't really The thing with Survivor Series, it's like the same thing with like King of the Ring. It's like you can't really talk about it for too long after. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I was the sole survivor at Survivor Series last night. You can't be like, and 2 weeks ago, I was Survivor Series' sole survivor. And 2 months from then, you can't either. Like, you can always say, like, I was champ once. Like, even if you were champ for, like, a minute, you can be like, I was the champion once, and I'll be the champion again. Like, Miz, remember when he beat John Cena at WrestleMania with the help of both The Rock and Alex Riley?
It doesn't matter.
The Miz can still be like, I beat you at WrestleMania. It's hilarious every time.
And what's really funny is Randy Orton actually, for the longest time, had a record as like, he had an undefeated streak at Survivor Series as the sole survivor. And then they blew that accolade. And he was like the first one eliminated in a match. And they didn't even like remember it.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. It's kind of like, it's like anything can happen in the WWE. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything should happen. You know, we've all seen Jurassic Park.
Right. It's Dr. Ian. That's why Dr. Ian Malcolm got fired from the WWE writers team. So you are predicting Team SmackDown and Asuka's the sole survivor?
No, they'll never do it. It's going to be Nia Jax is the sole survivor because they're trying to build Jax and Rousey. And so they'll be like, well, this will be a good opportunity to do that.
So I agree. It's going to be Team Raw. And I agree that Nia Jax is going to be a survivor. But I'm going to pile onto that. And I think the survivors are going to be Nia Jax and Tamina.
Oh, that's great.
Because sure, Tamina can tag along. She's been here for 12 years and kept her mouth shut about her father being a murderer that we covered up. So we can let her be the other survivor. The highest accolade in WWE history.
That sounds exactly correct. And then I think we both agree that, like, Alexa Bliss, like, she won't be competing, right?
No, she'll be the manager. She has too many concussions to compete. But her face is not broken.
No, and her voice ain't either. Okay, and then finally, let's do men's Survivor Series, then end on Brock versus Bryan.
We could do that, but you can't bury the lead. We have to talk about one of the most hyped matches on the card. Raw Tag Team Champions, the Authors of Pain versus The Bar.
Sheamus and Cesaro. Oh my god, I forgot about Cesaro. No. I think AOP win. And then I think there's some kind of miscommunication between a cheating Big Show and The Bar.
Well, I'm going to say The Bar wins.
Wow.
Because we have to have a hilarious moment where the Big Show picks up little Drake Maverick with not even one hand. It's like he literally pinches him, like in the way you get a pinch of salt to put in a recipe. He will get a pinch of Drake Maverick.
Yes, I love this. Okay. I love this.
Yeah, now that you've given that match the consideration it deserves, now we can talk about these other matches that don't nearly have the same hype.
Of course.
The team, the traditional, historic 5-on-5 Survivor Series Elimination Classic Interbrand competition for bragging rights brought to you by WWE 2K. it's Team Raw, which is Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley, with Baron Corbin in their corner, versus Team SmackDown, The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy.
I'm going to give this to Team SmackDown because they're trying to turn Shane McMahon, but they haven't, like, fully turned him yet. So I think, like, he needs to win this, and then he'll use that, like, cocky momentum to further his heel turn.
Interesting. And who do you think will be the survivors?
Oh, but who's the survivor? Oh, god damn it. Shane and... Wait, who else was on... not Samoa Joe. They wouldn't do that. As much as that would make sense. Wait, who else is on Team SmackDown one more time?
The Miz, Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy.
No, it's just Shane, Soul Survivor.
Yeah, when you're the best in the world, you can get the job done yourself.
Yes, exactly, Eric. Exactly.
So I'm going to go with Team Raw.
Wow.
Yeah, I think this is in the way that Braun Strowman has had a lot of prestigious achievements, like being the Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble champion. He'll also be a survivor here. I think it's going to be Team Raw. And I'm going to say the survivors are Braun and Drew McIntyre. So we can...
Oh,
we can,
that's great.
Build to their collision course.
That's really smart. That's very, very smart.
And can I just say, like, I'm so disappointed. Team Raw, Team SmackDown. We don't have, like... I wish they kept up the tradition of the team names. Like, why isn't it called, like, the Shane Squadron versus Bronze Battlers?
Wait a minute. You're absolutely right, because it would be, like, the Heart... Was that, like, not the Heart Foundation, but they'd be, like, the Canadian Club.
Yeah.
Or, like, Heart's Heroes.
And Jerry Lawler's team was the Knights Court, or...
Yeah, the King's Court. The King's Court. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my good... Eric, you're absolutely correct.
We need okay. more creative team names. Like, they could have called the team in the tag team contest, the tag teams from Raw, they could have been called just that picture from The Simpsons when Disco Stew walks over to the rejects pile from the from that bachelor competition where, like, the Steamboat Captain and Otto and Mo are standing. You could just be like the Raw tag teams. And it could just be that image. Versus, like, the Battling Brawlers of SmackDown.
Yeah, but, well, you know what? They should just call them, like, oh, wait, it's 5-on-5. I was going to say they should call them SmackDown 6 just to annoy people who like Paul Heyman. But, no, numerically that would work. No, look, I love this idea. In fact, if anyone on social media wants to write these jokes, I mean, submit their own fun Survivor Series tag team names, you can use hashtag Survivor Series team names were cool. Bring them back.
Trending worldwide.
It will be. You trust me. Okay. What's the last match? What's going on? I gotta go.
It's the big one. It's, the Universal Champion versus the WWE Champion. It's not AJ Styles. It's Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar.
Okay, we've both said that we are both very big fans of heel Bryan. I think it's great. I'm really glad they're doing it because this gives us something to do between Bryan and Miz at WrestleMania. And it also gives us enough time to kind of fix it either way, where it's like, well, what if it's heel Bryan versus face Miz at WrestleMania? That would actually, I don't know, that could be cool. What if they find a way to make that work? It's interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, they tried it once to make the Miz a likable babyface, and it went so well. So,
oh, no.
Why
Wait,
not?
What? When did they do that?
Why not?
Oh, no.
Tap the well again.
What? Wait, when did they do that?
Oh, that was...
I don't remember this!
That was 2013 when Ric Flair gave him his seal of approval and The Miz started using the figure four as a submission finisher.
I remember that. Well, wasn't it just that The Miz is just cocky now and happens to be fighting with bad guys? Like, he wasn't like a good guy.
Yeah, he was kind of on that chart that Reddit likes to meme about. He was on the chaotic, lawful chaotic. And what was the best thing about it was that he was trying to use the figure four, like the Stone Cold Stunner or the RKO, where it'd be like, oh, out of nowhere. But the figure four, like, you have to take time to make sure take time to make sure it's properly applied. So it just, like, led to him rushing through it and kind of losing his grip a lot.
No, I remember the segment where, like, Ric Flair was doing the figure four to someone, and then, like, literally, like, Ric Flair pointed to himself, and then he pointed to The Miz as if to be like, I'm literally gifting you this move. I'm taking a special move out of my arsenal and giving it to you. I won't have it anymore. And then Miz is doing it, and then literally Michael Cole went like, oh my God, he's giving up the figure four! And then it's like, it was the most forced thing. It was amazing to watch. And I'm like, watch this, in 3 weeks he won't be doing it anymore. And then, yeah, he didn't do it anymore after 3 weeks.
Yeah, so that's what we have to look forward to with Babyface Miz.
Oh, God, no! Well, all right.
No, I do think...
No!
But in all seriousness, folks, I do think... I think they can try it again, because heel Daniel Bryan is so good.
Yeah, but I mean, heel Daniel Bryan versus... I guess Bryan and AJ are going to have to fight again, like, right now. Who are they... first off, let's figure out who's going to win this match.
Sure.
Who do you think is going to... Because you think this is going to be a no contest.
Yeah, you know, this is... I'm going to give it to Brock Lesnar, but... I think AJ Styles is going to be heavily involved and cause Daniel Bryan to lose. So even though people have been building for this Daniel Bryan-Brock Lesnar dream match for years, I don't think we're going to get it the way we want to get it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think it's that simple, because they can say, like, well, this way we're protecting both of them. But really, you're just kind of protecting Lesnar, which is kind of all the company knows how to do,
and he needs it. He's so
yes,
he's so dependent, like, yes, his credibility is strained.
Yep exactly. Like, so here's what happened on SmackDown. Paul Heyman comes out and goes, hey there, AJ Styles, you're pretty good, but I think Daniel Bryan would be a much better opponent. Then Daniel Bryan comes out wearing a t-shirt that says, like, Bryan, Brock, Let's Rock or something. That is clearly on sale now at www.shop.ww.com. And then Bryan wins the thing. It's like they're saying to themselves, we got to sell these t-shirts now, because we are not going to sell these t-shirts after either nobody wins or Brock wins. And actually, it's going to be after Brock wins. So hurry up, get them while they're hot. They're a fun indie blue. They look screen printed, kids. Just take them and wear them.
Yeah, they need that indie cred in addition to strangling the independent wrestling scene with NXT. They need that sweet indie t-shirt market.
Yup. It's like literally, they're like, this is the only time of the year we're going to sell t-shirts to those idiot bloggers. And seeing as everyone is a wrestling blogger or everyone has a wrestling podcast, it'll work.
It sure will.
I can't wait to get one of those t-shirts.
And it'll be a collector's item if Bryan actually beats Brock.
Yes, it will. Oh my God, yes, which won't happen. I think that's about it for this week's Generic Wrestling Podcast. Eric, is there anything else to discuss?
No, we covered it. The only thing left are the NXT UK tag team titles, the 205 Live women's six-person tag team titles. We've covered all of it.
Okay, thank fucking goodness. Sorry to cut it short this week. A listener of ours, I don't want to blow him up on the podcast, but a listener of ours and a friend and a regular guest is having a bachelor party this weekend. And so I got to get out to the, I don't even know where, look, I got the address. I'll figure it out. Thanks so much for being on. And we also want to thank, something I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to thank specific Patreon subscribers. So hold on, let me find a couple. I want to thank Sleep Near, The Phone Losers of America, Hamilton Burger, and Mayamo S. Aaron. Thank you guys. I love all of you. Thanks for supporting us here at the show. We'll talk to you next time.